If you or someone you care about has cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is here to help from day one. Macmillan's free online forum provides a safe space to get support from both experts and others who've been there. Members support each other anonymously, sharing what's helped them on a range of subjects, from dealing with side effects such as hair loss and fatigue, to money worries and managing work, or talking with children about a diagnosis. There are different forums on cancer types or experiences, opportunities to ask an expert, and blog posts. Find support 24/7 from people who get what it's like to have cancer. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we usually love to talk about on Bravo. Today, Netflix, though.
No.
Changing it up.
Not even Netflix.
I'm Ronnie.
Not even Netflix.
What is it?
Max.
Oh, Max. You're correct. We should have a Max show because we also have the House of the Dragon stuff. So you know what? We're into you, Max. We're watching you, Max. I almost said I'm Ben. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Welcome home to your happy place. Your show. Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome home to your happy place. Also, your show. I hope you had a great birthday weekend.
I sure did. What great times being born, am I right?
It's a nice. Gosh. It's nice.
Yeah, I suppose. Last year of my 40s, everybody. Here we go. Buckle in.
You can do it.
Buckle in to go very slowly.
Yeah,
that's how I plan on doing everything. I'm just like, I'm older now and I'm sleeping a lot more. I'm like, but I'm so older, you know, like that little tick on the calendar made a huge difference and I'm just sleeping my face off and I love it. So the point is chimp crazy. Okay. So Bravo's in a slump. I don't know if it's because of the Olympics. I don't know if it's because of. I don't know why, but Bravo was like, you know what? We're going to air 97 shows at one time and then we're not going to air shit for 3 months. Like, right. It's the fucking pandemic all over again.
Right.
So they've decided to do that to us. So we've come up with other things to recap and we've asked you guys what you want. We are going to try this Mormon show coming up called The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives about hashtag mom talk. And so if you want to hear our trailer trash, which is our preview of the trailer, our trashing of the trailer, go check that out on our Patreon. That's also where you find videos for all our recaps, including this one. And today we decided, let's try this chimp crazy show because everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, it's from creators of Tiger King, which, you know, Tiger King was such a thing. And we
covered that as well.
We recapped that on Patreon and we had a really fun time with that. That was such a wild, wacky saga full of colorful characters, going in strange, unexpected places. And so when we saw, you know what, there's another documentary about, you know, someone with an unhealthy relationship with animals that they should not be keeping in captivity. We thought, like, hey, this could also be interesting because I think the correlation is a lot of times the people who own animals beyond like dogs and cats and normal kind of pets, exotic animals, they're fucking crazy and they lead to good documentaries. So we thought, hey, why not? And plus wigs.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't have normally watched this, I don't think. I saw the previews. I didn't know it was from the Tiger King people, but I just looked at it and was like, meh, you know, I don't know, chimp crazy, like, I don't need that. I don't know, it just looked like, I don't know who it's supposed to appeal to, but I don't really ever see a chimp on the cover and think, wow, I need to see that. I wonder what those crazy chimps are doing.
Yeah.
Because every movie that had chimps is stupid. I mean, can we just...
Literally...
Can we just all agree on that?
They are all terrible. I have never enjoyed chimps in my entertainment. Like, I have always hated when chimps show up dressed as something. I've always hated chimps on greeting cards. I just don't find chimps appealing whatsoever. I don't think that they're cute. Maybe when they're babies, they're sort of cute. But, like, I'm not someone who's ever been drawn to chimps. And especially when there were, like, two different horrific news stories about chimps that came out, one of which is covered in episode 2 of this show. But there was another one with a guy who went to visit his old chimp that he used to own, and that chimp just like tore off his face and his dick and everything, and it was, I think, an arm was pulled out. It was just like horrifying. Ever since that, I was like, no, I don't fuck with chimps. Like, they're strong, crazy animals.
Well, listen, part of me feels like that's unfair. You know, part of me feels like telling you that's unfair because that's two chimps out of how many chimps, and it's not fair to judge all chimps based on a couple of chimps. But then, you know what? I won't date anybody, and it's because I watch the news and know other humans. So I guess I judge all of humanity based on a few bad apples as well. But I'm right, though. I feel like I'm right and you're wrong. But here's why. Because you know what chimps are? Here's where you're wrong.
I judge the people who think that they can just cuddle up with a chimp like it's a kitty cat or a dog. And it's like, no, that's an animal from the jungle.
It's a chimp.
Yeah. That's what I judge. That's a chimp.
Here's where I think you're wrong. I love chimps and I think they're so fucking cute. Here's the thing. I just think they're misused in movies. Well, first of all, now we know it's like bad to use them. You can't use them. So obviously we're against it because it's bad. It's mean to chimps. But I just feel like they never really have great roles for chimps. Mm. And we see a role that Tonka plays. He's a chimp in this movie. We see a role that Tonka plays, which was Babe, Pig in the City. Tonka, I have to say, that is some Oscar-winning work.
Only acceptable monkey performance.
That was fantastic. Yeah. They made Tonka a talking lady chimp who was popping bubble gum. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the bubble gum work alone, I thought was really good. It was like Meryl Streep type work. Loved the accent.
Yeah.
It was great. But for the most part, like stupid, terrible movies. Every clip they showed, I was like, that movie sucked. And you know what? It's like people with a big dick. It's like a crutch. You know what I mean? Like the chimp is our crutch. They're like, we've got a big dick here. A chimp. And so we don't have to be educated or groom or read any kind of books because everybody's still going to like us because we have a big dick / a chimp.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind of how I feel about chimps. Yeah. They're a crutch. They're a crutch for bad 80s movies.
They're a crutch for creativity. I'm just not someone that's like drawn to chimps.
Here's something that we are drawn to. Now, I saw everyone said, Ben brought it up, actually. We were like, what are people talking about right now? And Ben said, I keep hearing about this show called Chimp Crazy. I said, no, chimps. No, absolutely no. I will not touch a chimp show. I have very few lines in my life. Okay. That is one of them. I didn't even know until recently, but that's one of them.
I failed my pitch, though. I didn't even hear that people were watching it. I just saw that it was coming to Max. They had put up a big thing. Oh. And where I had failed was I didn't say there's a chimp show with a lady with a big wig.
Well, that's what I was leading to is one thing we do like, because I didn't know this one. Yeah, Ben didn't mention this part, is that there's a housewives looking lady with a Kim Zolciak wig on the cover, sexily posing with the chimp, with everything being pink. I mean, when I saw the poster, I was like, oh, what's that? And then when I watched the show, I was immediately pulled into the show. I have to say, the filmmaker dude who does this does a great job. Because I remember watching Tiger King and thinking, wow, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, the colors of it. It wasn't just the story of the crazy guy. I mean, it was that. But it was just the colors and the way it was done and the way that they had all these twists and turns throughout the story. And it just got crazier and crazier. And I thought, he's not going to be able to do that again. And why would you want to? Why would you go from something like Tiger King and think, I need to make another wacky animal lover documentary? But he did it. I mean, to me, I think it's so good. I think it's just brilliantly done. The way that they do all these twists and turns, the characters, all the stuff that the characters reveal, the stuff that he had no way of knowing was going to happen during shooting that unfolds during the shooting.
Right.
It's just so good. I mean, it has me. I love the show.
I mean, that's why, I mean, like, again, like, I feel like if you just put a camera on someone who's like really into exotic animals and like, but also I was really into having a shitty home for them, but they think it's a great home. You're going to get like a good documentary. I don't know if I love the show, to be honest. I think it's interesting. It's fascinating. It's not fair to compare it to Tiger King, but Tiger King to me felt like it was more about the human drama. Joe Exotic, and like all these crazy people in his world, and like how he had like his cult of personality that drew people in, and his, you know, he had this boyfriend and he had like a rival with Carol, and then you have this other guy who's like this long blonde hair. There's a world of characters that are all scheming, and it was fascinating. And then this one is just like Tanya. You got Tanya. And you got what's her face, who doesn't want to be on camera, And that's basically it. And it's basically like this first episode to me was just like, so we got chimps. PETA doesn't want us to have the chimps. PETA's going to take away the chimps. So to me, it wasn't like the first hour was like, it was interesting because it was interesting to see how like they like, wow. It's like, I can't believe they're keeping these chimps in these conditions and everything. But look at this also strange relationship they have with the chimps. But in terms of like actual like twists and turns, to me, I was like, this was not very twisty and turny. They had chimps in shitty cages. And PETA was like, can't do that. And the government was like,
well, it ended with a good one. I don't know. I loved it. Let's start from the start.
Yeah.
Shall we? So we start in like a kid's bedroom. It's super weird. It's like a sci-fi movie or a kidnapping movie where people are kidnapped and then put into a child-looking room in the basement. That's what it looks like. That's where it looks like we're in. It's all pink. There's a couple of bunk beds. And then there's we see some stuffed chimps on a bed, I guess. And then a little baby chimp is cuddling, and you know, you see the baby chimp and it's like, oh my god, you're cute, unless you're Ben, which you're sitting in your living room going, you're ugly.
No, I thought the baby chimp was cute. It was still in its cute era. It was still in its like acceptable to be on TV era. There, I mean, all these chimps are basically like child stars. Like that, this is the story of many, many hairy child stars who are cute for 5 years and then afterwards discarded into a cage in Missouri. So then we get Tanya and she's like, monkey love is totally different than the way you actually love your child. If it's your natural born child, it's just, you know, it's natural because, you know, you actually gave birth to that kid. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, thanks for explaining what natural children are, Tanya. Immediately, I loved her because she's like, yeah, the monkeys are different from natural kids because your natural born kids are yours because they're natural from you because you have the kids, which makes them a natural kid because they came out of you. Fuck those kids, by the way. Those kids suck. Those kids are the most disgusting kind of kids, which is kind of where she leads to. She's like, but then you get a monkey and that bond's much deeper than a normal kid, you know?
Yeah.
But her poor kids. Do we get to meet her kids?
We never meet her kids. We never meet them. But she literally is like, yeah, the bond with the monkey is so much deeper than with like a child. Because a child learns to talk back to you and then suddenly stops loving you when he gets his first girlfriend and suddenly you are just a scar by the side of the road, but a monkey never stops loving you. It's a deeper relationship.
And just, we have to visually give it to this lady, Tanya. I mean, just her look. She's got this huge wig, this huge bleach blonde, curly plastic straw hair wig, these gigantic pop off of her face lips, huge fake eyelashes, a really Magda level spray tan. I mean, she's everything. I mean, I really do think this was just like, whoever this person is, I forget the name of the guy who directs, Mike, I guess is his name, who directs the movies. I'm just going with Mike.
I forget
Mike.
His name.
He seems like a Mike, yeah, right? Mike. And by the way, he's given me so much of my life and I can't even remember his name. Sorry, Mike. But that guy, I think it's like all gay coded because Joe Exotic obviously was gay and this isn't gay, but there's nothing more gay coded than this woman. You know,
she's
what
very
I mean?
Jennifer
I feel
Coolidge.
Like this was made for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she's definitely like, I'm like, I cannot believe this person actually exists. Like that's what this is. I think that's what I was trying to say before. This one's like less about the twists and turns to me. This is just more like, look at this crazy lady. So she's talking and we're seeing footage of, you know, a couple holding up a baby, like a lady's holding a baby over her head and Tanya's speaking and she says, human children are meant to grow up and build bonds with other people in society, but not chimpanzees. They just want to throw shit at you. And that is such a deep and meaningful experience.
Checking out to a baby chimp, you're their mother is everything. I mean, they really love their mothers. They don't just discard their mothers or give them ashtrays on Mother's Day, if even that. I got a peanut butter cracker for Mother's Day one time. And it's only because I said, what I get for Mother's Day? And they threw a peanut butter cracker at my head. You know, fuck those kids. But a chimp, I mean, their mother is everything to them. You know, that's all they think about. And so when you're a chimp's mother, you become their mother. You're all they want. That's all you're. I mean, it's just so on the nose psychologically. It's like, my children hate me, and this chimp loves me, and he has to.
Yes.
Because I'm its whole world. Because you've kidnapped it. It's got fucking Stockholm syndrome. And listen, I think the same thing about dogs. I mean, Bueller loves me. He's obsessed with me. When I come in, he stares at me. When I leave, he stares at me. When I'm sitting here, he stares at me. When I walk across the room, he stares at me. You know why? Because I feed him. Without me, if I die, he's fucked. And he knows it. He literally knows nobody else in the world. You know what I mean? I understand. I get it, you know, and I understand that it's crazy loving something like that because I've kidnapped him and I've given him Stockholm syndrome and I'm totally fine with it. But you know, that's how you are with these monkeys. And it gets even more disturbing when they talk about they're basically humans, right? These chimps. They're like, oh, they're humans. They feel the same as us. They just don't talk as well. So we kidnap them and keep them behind bars for life.
You know what? I'm sorry. There's nothing like holding, loving, and being around a chimp. It's the best thing since peanut butter, which incidentally does not qualify as a good Mother's Day gift. I want to highlight that again. I can't explain it because it's like something that you just don't ever feel. Okay, it's so empowering. They're just like us. Well, especially Tonka, who's more like a truck, but like they're a lot like us.
Tonka is so much like us. And she does say Phil and Rill. Yeah. It is very Whitney from Salt Lake City. So we meet Tonka. We cut to Tonka. Tonka's in a cage putting sunglasses on, which is like so human-like. Yeah. And she's outside Tonka's cage and she's going, give me a kiss, Tonka, Tonka, give me a kiss. Good boy, Tonka, Tonka, give me a kiss right now. Open mouth, double cheek. All kinds of kisses. Tonka knows them all.
Tonka and I just found each other, or more like Tonka was trapped in a cage and I walked in the room and he had no other choice but to find me because I was the only one there he could look at. And Tonka loved me as much as I love Tonka. And it was meant to be. It was just natural. As natural as two species that really are not really supposed to have that kind of relationship is. And more natural than having your own natural kids, which, by the way, that's when they come out of your vagina.
It's as natural as your love for God.
Whoa.
I think that's learned. First of all,
furious at this documentary.
Yeah, and I mean, just on technicality, not even to get into religion, I believe that your love in God is kind of a learned behavior. So she's like, yeah, it's like your love for God, and I do anything to protect that primate. Anything. Dun, dun, dun. So we know it's going to get ugly with Tonya.
Right.
And so immediately they're drawing their parallels with Joe Exotic. Like, it's going to be a crime documentary. And then we cut to helicopters whirring over the home and news clips saying the fight over chimpanzees should be over. But the chimpanzee lady now making national news. And then we see Tonya talking to the news camera being like, oh, you're going to have to bring sheriffs. They're going to have to bring everything they can. This is like trying to take peanut butter from a caveman.
Who was preparing a Mother's Day gift for a soon-to-be disappointed mother. So it's like, I would give anything that I had to possession wise for that child. I would give my life for, maybe not my wig. I'll keep the wig, but everything else I'll give up for that chimp.
And that's what I did. I gave up everything for Tonka.
Like, oh my God, what happened? And then the title comes up, Chimp Crazy. Now, I was in love already. I was like, this is my kind of show. I need this to have 20 seasons because this is amazing.
And this is also an amazing shot because she's sitting in this pink bedroom with like bunk beds behind her. And she goes, I would. And that's what I did, to be honest. And then she stares at the camera and this little baby chimp crawls out on the top bunk bed out of nowhere. I was like, that was the most perfect shot. How did they do that? How did that work out so perfectly? Did they just like pause the camera?
I think so much of this show, and that's what I really like about the show, because, you know, it's a documentary, but we're so used to doco series or whatever they're called, like doco dramas, that we get used to thinking, oh, this is a document. It's like Real Housewives. They're just documenting these lives. This is actually a film, you know, that things are just kind of naturally happening on the camera and they're catching such really cool shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really catching a lot of cool stuff. And that was just one little moment of it, which I don't think you can plan that. Like that little monkey just crawling so slowly on the top bunk, kind of making its way into the shot. She's just having a very serious shot straight to the camera.
It was a perfect shot, I have to say.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow the Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's so good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby. This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now we cut to Sarasota, Florida. Inevitably, we knew for some reason we just knew this documentary was going to take us to Sarasota. And we're at the home of Pam Rosier, who, by the way, I don't understand Pam Rosier's role in all this, but I loved her. I wanted more of her. So she and her husband and a chimp are watching a movie on the screen. They're watching 2001 Space Odyssey. That's the famous scene where in the beginning, where a chimp, someone in a monkey suit, is like banging with one bone against another, like it's the invention of tools, and we hear the music going off, the also sprach Zarathustra going like da 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 da, and this chimp is watching a fake chimp on TV, but thinks it's a real chimp and is losing its mind. And this Pam Rosier, there's no reason Pam Rosier is only watching this movie to fuck with her chimp. I'd like to point out, there's she's like, all right, everyone, let's watch the movie to watch make our little chimp go crazy again. He always thinks it's real. It's hilarious.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to watch chimp things with your chimp, right? It's like when you have a gay person in your house, you're like, let's put on a housewife show for Ronnie, you know, keep him busy, or like a show tune. Like when I was a kid, my mom would just throw on Little Orphan Annie, the movie or whatever. So yeah, you got to keep the chimp interested. But I love the chimp's audience, his audience abilities, because we see the chimps watching things throughout the show and just watching how they react to things. It is very like us on a season finale night of a Housewives. They're just like moving back and forth in a diaper, which is me soon, but just like receipts, prove, time, just banging shit on the ground, you know.
So Pam goes, well, my dad asked me what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and I said I want to be the world's most famous chimpanzee trainer. So we'll put that on LinkedIn.
America, this is where we really need to like beat our children. You know what I mean? Like, no. You know, sometimes you just need to say no, and you need to bring spanking back. And you need to say, read a book, get a job. You know what I mean?
And the director, Eric, not Mike, Eric says, and how old were you? She goes, seven. So at seven, she both wanted to be a chimpanzee trainer, but also the most famous one.
Yeah. So then we cut to a circus with Pam, some video footage. And she's like, my ancestors are all circus people, so I couldn't just have one chimp, you know. You had to have at least three chimps. Because then if you got three chimps, then you got an act. One chimp is a solo. Two chimps is a duo. Three chimps, you're in business, baby.
Well, you know,
and then we like, see her doing her act with her chimps, and I'm like, she's got it. Look at that. It does make a difference having three.
Yeah, it's like a reverse cat lady. You know, if you got one cat, you got a cat. You got two cats, oh, you got two cats. You got three cats, you're a cat lady. But it goes in reverse with monkeys. With monkeys, when you get three, it's you're an act. That's when you're most special of all.
She's like, and let me tell you, chimps have a long life, right? They got the same lifespan that we got, so I picked the right trade. I'm still performing with my chimps, all right? We all fart a little bit more in the middle of numbers, but we're still doing them, right? And then we cut to her doing shows with her chimps. But the shows are kind of sad, right? Because, you know, they're all on a chain. They're all on a big, long chain. And they're kind of like doing a cartwheel. And she's like, oh, chimps can do anything that they want to do because they got our intelligence. Well, I don't know if you've watched the news or talked to random strangers out in public lately, but I don't know that I'd be bragging about that, you know?
Yeah. Have you watched the other people in your documentary? I don't know if intelligence is a word we should be throwing around so easily.
Literally turn on TLC and then tell me you want people
you know, making more.
Yeah, no, they're right. They're calculating. They watch every move you make. They learn to read people. They know what you say, every word you say, every breath you take, every word you make, every place you go, every chimp you stow away. They'll be watching you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Berlin.
That's not Berlin. His things. I don't know why that made me think of that.
It's the police, babe.
The police. Well, they're going to be in this later, so we'll see them soon. So she's like, yeah, chimps are real smart. And then we see her loading her chimps into the car after the circus. And one of them is joking that it's like wanting to get a beer on top of the car. It's like, should I get the beer? Should I get the beer? Should I get the beer? Chimps have the personality like that creepy uncle who's always kidding, but then he's thrown in jail at some point for something terrible. And you're like, oh, I just thought he was funny. And it's like, no. And, you know, I hope that's not me because I'm an uncle. But I thought of that and I was like, oh, my God, am I the creepy uncle that eventually goes to jail for something? Sorry, I got sidetracked. I got sidetracked in my fear for my own future. Yeah. I forgot what we were talking about.
Well, we were talking about Pam endorsing chimps, and she goes, you know, they are 98.4% human DNA. So therefore, I mean, they're our closest living relative. They're my kids, and they're always going to be my kids. And years ago, I had a baby chimp born 2 months premature, and premature baby chimps cannot digest formula, and he wasn't doing good. He was dying, but I just had my daughter Dallas, so I did what came natural. He's a baby that needs feeding. Feed it, you know?
Cut to the baby chimp at McDonald's. JK, cut to the baby chimp on her tit, okay, with Dallas. She's got a baby. The husband's like, well, I come in one day, she's got Dallas on one booby and the chimp on the other. And I said, whoa, what are you doing? And will you do it? Well, I got the Betamax whirring.
And then it becomes like a National Enquirer story, which meant that her husband went and called the newspapers, but hey, my wife is breastfeeding a monkey. You want to write about it?
They're like, this is it. This is how we make it. Because back in the day, there wasn't a TikTok. You can't.
Yeah.
There's not going to be some video of you yelling at your kids hilariously that's going to make you a family name. You know what I mean? You had to like actually make an effort. I mean, back then, people really woke up in the morning like, get out the Betamax. I'm breastfeeding a monkey. And we're going to spread this around. We're going to put this on a mobile home tour until it gets somewhere. You know?
It's really true. Because she's like, next thing you know, it's in the Enquirer and then Star. And oh my God, like baby chimp saved by breastfeeding mom. I mean, I was living my dream. I was the most famous chimpanzee trainer, and I trained them from the teat.
And let's just point out, I mean, times change, you know? And she would be in jail if this came out today. If this came out that some lady had a monkey on her boob, they would be like, that is animal, you know, abuse, and you are going to prison, ma'am, you know?
Yes.
And I'm not sure whose side I'm on, like the past or the present, because she saved a monkey, I guess. But then the other part of me is like, was there no bottle that you could put the breast milk in? I just don't understand. I don't understand.
She saved the monkey.
To be your boobie.
So that we could have a long, flourishing life dressed like a little cowboy doing cartwheels on a chain.
I mean, that monkey would have gone to heaven without ever being dressed like Mae West as a fireman. Did I not stepped in? But yeah, like you saved the monkey, but what about your nipple? I have a feeling your nipple looks concern. Like a pizza, you know?
I'd be very concerned about that nip. So yeah. She's like, you know, to me, they're my life. I mean, that's my life's love. They were my first love, and I wouldn't want to have my life without a chimp in it.
And by the way, as we see these chimps, I can see how people fall in love with these animals. They are just so fucking sweet. They are really, really sweet. And Dallas, who's her daughter, is like, and by the way, Dallas, I don't know. We haven't found out much about this storyline yet, these people yet, but Dallas is very like gypsy for anybody who knows that musical. I'm sorry, I'm so like old queenie with my, it's my birthday, I'm reminiscing on everything that's past, but you know, it's very child star of that era, you know, like the 50s or whatever. This is the one who was supposed to make it, Dallas, you know, that Mama Rose put everything into. And she still kind of looks like she's on break from the circus. Like she's still kind of in her stage makeup with her stage hair. And, you know, she's wearing some pleather boots. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, he was just gentle. He was very kind. We're like brother and sister. So much that the instant a boy would like me, he, you know, he would be mean to that boy, whip off his dick.
put it down his throat, bodice, rip off one of his legs and beat him with it. I mean,
this is what brothers do.
Yeah. Can't imagine my life without him. It would have been very different. If you were going to serve me a summons without a chimp, you'd probably be able to do it. What kind of life would that be? All right.
So Eric Good is like, so if someone wants a chimp, where would you buy one in America? She goes, well, for a long time, it was Connie Casey. She has chimpanzees, but it's too bad because it's the end of a dynasty. She lives in Festus, Missouri, not to confuse with Fetus, Missouri. That S is really
or important. Or Fester, Missouri. That's just a place in Missouri where older, balding, fat men go to live and just grow pale.
She doesn't want the attention.
Speaking of the creepy uncles, there's a whole town where creepy uncles are sent to. Fester, Missouri.
Don't talk to Connie Casey about Fester, Missouri. Bad things happened over there.
She's like, Connie Casey. And this is where we find out Connie Casey does not want attention. Connie Casey, you sell chimps. You sell circus chimps and used to go on TV trying to like make yourself famous with these. I get you don't want it now. I mean, as it goes on, we can see why Connie no longer wants attention. But we cut to Fetus, Missouri. Fetus, Festus, Fester, Missouri.
Festivus, Missouri. And so Peter Laufer, so someone named Peter says that Missouri is basically one of the few states where you can do anything with animals. I did not know this. You can have like exotic animal auctions. You can do anything, any wild, crazy animal. It's there. Come to Missouri. Come for the butter cake. Stay for the exotic animals.
Yeah. Stay for the giraffe adoption, you know?
No. Yeah. Blue whales.
Yeah, he's like, Connie Casey, she was doing this stuff big time, which was breeding chimpanzees at her enclave, the Missouri Primate Foundation. So he's like, back in 2010, I was one of the last journalists to talk to Connie. So Eric, whose name is not Michael or Chris, whatever I was calling him before, is like, yeah, I've been trying to talk to her. He's like, oh yeah, she's not going to talk to anybody. I'll tell you that. So Eric's like, yeah, I've been documenting exotic animal people and for a very long time, and they're already distrustful, but you know, I made the Tiger King and now no one will talk to me. No one trusts me in the animal community.
So he tries to go like show up at Connie Casey's. So he's like for this, he drives up and it's just all these really angry dogs just staring at him from like this gate. And he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to come back another time. So he tells us that he had to hire a proxy director to go undercover. And so, he is with the proxy director. I forgot his name. What was his? I know his stage name is, which is Dr. Wasabi.
It's Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Right? Yes. So he's like, we got a proxy director. So then we get this guy come in and he's like, I'm from the circus. Like, oh my God, of course you are.
Yeah, I guess if I had scrolled down one more line, I would have seen his name as Dwayne.
So we see the property, right? And it's a chain link gate opening up and it says Missouri Primate Foundation. And we see statues of chimps. Just kind of funny. And it's July 2021. And Dwayne is meeting Tonya, the lady with the big plastic crazy hair. And they start, it's like, I guess, you know, the first day of filming for them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we just got in at 3:30 this morning. She's talking on the phone. And then we meet her. She's like, well, I'm Tanya. I'm a nurse. I'm from St. Louis. And I came down here to Missouri Primate Foundation to help Connie Casey preserve the chimpanzees that she held. Because Connie, I mean, hold on. Everybody just quiet on set. Connie's a legacy. Can we have a moment and just bask in the glow that is Connie? Connie? Silently burp like you do so we know you're the I felt it. Did you guys feel like that? What a fucking legacy.
She has a legacy that is greater than anybody could ever imagine. She is a world renowned chimp person, basically responsible for 3/4 of the captive bred chimps that are here in the United States currently. If you ever look at a chimp in a cage and think, God, that chimp looks miserable, she'll be out in the jungle, just say, that was Connie. Connie did that. She's an icon.
You know, Connie's the first person to look at a chimp and think, you know what that chimp really needs? A shadow of bars on its face.
You know what? Connie looks at a chimp. Some people see this as a wild animal that should be swinging from vines in a different continent, but she sees someone who could be dressed up like a little whore in a old West bordello. God, she's a genius.
Donnie sees that as somebody who could really entertain a bunch of children at a party until a year later when it gets murderous and tries to take down the neighborhood. So what a legacy. Good girl. Hey, we've got a lot of chimp statues. Where's the Connie statue? It's exhausted. That's where it is. It's under a blanket somewhere. Real tired.
Sorry, this is her Wheel of Fortune watching hour. So... So basically, Connie's like minivan or something pulls up, and Tanya goes up to Connie to try to be like, hey, I want you to meet this guy that's doing this documentary. His name is Dr. Wasabi. He's a real reputable guy. He has an advanced degree. It's not Mr. Wasabi. It's Dr. Wasabi. I think you should talk to him.
Actually, I don't remember his name. Hey, you, come here. I'm sorry. I don't know your name. Okay. I guess you know that. And I know that sounds rude. But guess what? I know fucking Connie, all right? Have some respect.
So he comes over. He's like, hi, I'm Dwayne Cunningham, completely a filmmaker, not tricking you at all. It's a pleasure and an honor to meet you. Yes, I am juggling. Yes, I fucking am. This is how we do it in the business these days. We just thought people needed to hear your story. And while I ask you questions, I'm going to be going back and forth in the same foot on this unicycle.
Love your car, by the way. God, back in my day, we could probably fit about 45 of us in that thing. Okay.
Did you know that they can fit 40 people in a clown car, according to Alexa? But then they can only fit 25 in a clown car, according to Siri? Now, does that mean that Android is just generally more positive, or are they delusional? And Apple's like, no, you can only fit them safely.
Yes.
And if you want more, you have to buy more storage for clowns, and it's going to cost you 5 times the national average.
I think it's clear that Alexa is the Connie Casey of clown car clown car captivity versus Siri, which is going for a more humane numerical count. Like, you could, but we're not going to endorse it. We're going to say you can only keep 25 in there.
I know that because I was trying to show my friend how the Siri works. I was like, look, Alexa's so much better than Siri. So I was like doing a test, and that was a question. I was like, just ask anything. How many clowns can a clown car hold? And Alexa said 40 to 45. And I was like, Siri won't even answer because Siri's an idiot. And because normally Siri in the car goes, I'm sorry, I can't do that while you're driving. Like, Siri literally won't do anything in the car. But she did answer it. And I was like, maybe they upgraded Siri. I don't know.
Let me tell you something. The most humane of all might just be Google, because I said, how many clowns fit in a clown car? 14 and 21 clowns. Greg DeSanto of the International Clown Hall of Fame estimates that somewhere between 14 and 21 clowns and their props could fit into a car prepared in this manner. But only one clown if it's Gale. Hi, this is Padma Lakshmi. My new gig is reading Google results.
Why is it telling me a different thing?
On Google?
Okay.
I did it just...
How many clowns can fit in a car? Oh, I see, because you were asking... Okay, now she's telling me how many clowns can fit in a car. The number of clowns that can fit in a car depends on the size of the car and how densely the clowns are packed.
That's a hedge.
Listen, can I get a consistent fucking answer here?
How about you answer the question instead of trying to be elusive, Siri?
No, this is Alexa who did that. Oh.
Well, okay. I really resent that answer. It depends on the size of the car. Well, no shit, Sherlock. A standard clown car. What's the average?
That's annoying. All right, so we go back to Dwayne.
Point out something very important that I just learned. My cousin's wife, Mallory, has informed me that there is a hipster clown movement that's happening right now, and that this is like now the new thing. Like, going to clown school is like a hip thing, and clown comedy is now a big deal. And she's like, I'm going to go to a clown show tonight, in fact. So, like, this is like Dr. Wasabi is on trend.
Well, good luck to you. You know, I mean, you got to have a hobby. Go for it. I believe in you. I will say that I think that that's just big circus, because For a long time, a decade ago, people were really into, they were taking circus classes, like where you learn to do the trapeze and stuff like that, remember?
Oh, I hated and the trapeze. I hated the trapeze.
Yeah, people were always like, oh yeah, my new exercise is trapeze class. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I think big circus is just like putting this shit out there and tricking people to constantly keep people interested in circus economy.
I think so. I think this is definitely like Barnum and Bailey's attempt to get like right back into like relevancy, which it won't be.
Okay, so back to the show.
Yes.
So, sorry. I thought that sentence was over. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It was. Like it was over.
I was ending with so, back to the circus. Back to the show. So Dwayne, proxy director, is like, Connie, I'm Dwayne. And listen, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. You are a legacy. We just want people to hear your story. And we're going to get it out there in the court of public opinion. So I'm like, what has happened with Connie? Like, why is Connie hiding? Why is Connie so afraid? But Connie's like, fuck no. I talk to nobody. I talk to nobody. Here's who's going to answer your questions. The hood of my minivan, bitch.
So then Dwayne tells us a little bit about himself and why he is suitable for this job. He says, well, I went to Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus Clown College, class of 75. Yeah. Jimmy Carter was our commencement speaker. It was great. And I got to work with their animals every day. And then I became involved in the animal industry for pretty much my entire life. And I've had a relationship with the federal government over exotic animals. So that's his way of saying he was thrown in jail because we see headlines.
He's been in jail. Yeah, we see his record pop up on the screen.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, it was a rough time. 1975, there was an oil crisis. But I'll tell you one thing. It was a good time to be packed into a clown car. We're the only people who got anywhere back then.
Oh, God, I was the toast of the town back in 75, a fresh young grad. I was in everyone's living room, from Suzanne Summers to Joyce DeWitt. They all wanted me.
So when they called me and said, you want to be the point person on this thing, get in there, see what's going on. I mean, that's right up my alley, you know? And once these people knew my background, they're not skeptical of my presence at all. They say, who are you? I say, honk, honk, and squirt some water in their face through a flower on my lapel. Putty in the palm of my hands, these fuckers.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence, and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
So now Dwayne is getting a tour of the chimps. Tanya's giving a tour. And, you know, there's like a chimp banging on a light and everything. And he's like, is this normal? It's like, oh, yeah, he's just displaying this because there's other males here. That's for shame to show his dominance in his territory. I mean, if these bars weren't here, he'd rip your face off, probably your dick, too. But I gotta love, you know, they're just so sweet. I just love these chimps.
And this is one of those moments where I was shocked because you're expecting it to be like, oh, my God, look how cute. Like, there's chimps everywhere. And it does look like prison. It does look like a big prison with bars everywhere. And the chimps are like, ah, like they're going crazy because there's someone in there. It's like an insane asylum in there. And it does not look like, oh, how touchy feely. It looks like, what the fuck is going on here?
Right.
And she's like, yeah, you know, it's just acting like that because there's another male here. Well, it's like you never watch a Republican National Convention. Am I right? Connie, that's for you, Con.
Hold on one second. Connie just bought a vowel. Okay. She loves playing along.
Hey, but, Connie, let me tell you something. Connie never spends money. The only time she ever spends money is for these chimps and the occasional vowel. That must be a hard puzzle. Her. I believe in you, Con. We all believe in you. You have an A? Give me the A. That's right. Legacy. You win, Con.
Connie's a little sour these days. She really did not want Ryan Seacrest to take over Pat's job. She estranged her write-in candidate was Heather Locklear. Didn't even understand that one, but, I support her.
Ryan Seacrest is the host of Wheel of Fortune?
He's taking over.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Oh,
come on. Haven't we given Ryan Seacrest enough goddamn money?
I agree. I would have liked some fresh game show talent. By the way, we need a new crop of game show hosts. The old ones are all dying off. One just died last week. So, Who? I forgot his name. Was his name something Parker? I'll look it up.
Well, he didn't leave much of a legacy. Unlike you, Con. All right.
Peter Marshall. Oh, this poor guy. Peter Marshall died, and they put up a picture of Alex Trebek instead. Oh.
The lack of respect happening today, not only on the news, but this podcast.
He was the host of Hollywood Slips. So,
that's back or back in the day?
It's definitely not. He's 90. He was 98.
Well, so is Charo. I still watch her ass on the Instagram. Do you ever watch her? She's my favorite. If anybody does not follow Charo, please do yourself a favor and consider it a gift from me. Go follow the official Charo on Instagram. What a fucking ray of light this woman is. I love her so fucking much. I can't even describe how much I love her. I'm like one of the chimps watching TV when she comes on my Instagram. Because all she does, her favorite thing is she'll be like, let me tell you what I'm going to teach you today. Open a watermelon. Watermelon is so healthy. Watermelon. And then she dances and opens a watermelon, and I watch it 20 times and cry. I'm like, you're so talented. I love you, Charo. And she's like, watermelon, look at me. No wrinkles. I'm like, oh my God, this woman's amazing.
I once saw her walking on a sidewalk in suburban San Diego. I was driving through a neighborhood. I was like, is that Charo walking on the sidewalk? And it was Charo, because it's Charo. It's like the hair and everything. It's like she's dressed like Charo, and she had her little dog. And I was like, what is Charo doing? Charo doesn't seem like someone that would just be on a sidewalk, especially not in the suburbs. She's like in some
penthouse
somewhere, but she was right there on the sidewalk.
Charo's fucking amazing. Yeah, and she doesn't change a damn thing. She wears like an ice skating skirt and those really thick hose that are flesh-toned but not see-through. Yeah. You know, like Taylor Swift wore in her concert? What are those called? I don't know. I'm looking at everything as ice skating, but yeah, basically she's dressed like an ice skater, opening a watermelon in her backyard. God, I fucking love that woman. Okay, back to the show. So, Dwayne gives us his background, and then we go to the large room with the pink cages everywhere, and the chimp's going crazy, and then we see Connie is showing a video on her phone. She's showing a video to them to show us, I guess. And she's like, yeah, the grandkids playing in the hot tub with Kirby. Listen, I don't want to be on TV. Get me off the TV. Why are you putting me on the camera? Get me off the camera. Connie ain't playing around.
Yeah.
She's a diva.
No, she does not want to be on camera. So then Dwayne tells us, at that point, it seemed like Connie Casey was exhausted. Exhausted physically, exhausted mentally. There's nothing about Connie Casey that seems like she ever was not exhausted, I have to say, from every photo we've seen of her. This is a lady who, when they asked her when she was 7 what she wants to be when she grows up, she's like, I want to be the most famous exhausted person. That's what I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it, because I'm that kind of a person too. Like, my ultimate goal is just to be successful enough to stay in bed all day. That's really all I want. Yeah. Oh, geez. I'm dropping everything off my desk. Over. I love sleeping. I love being in bed. And I'm like her too. She's like, get that fucking camera off me. I'm going to bed. Bye. I was like, how is she not in a nightgown right now?
Yeah. So now, now we have Tanya getting eyelash extensions. She's like lying on a table. Extensions are going in, and she basically has this enormous monologue where she's like, well, she does really good work. This eyebrow person, eyelash person, her stuff looks natural instead of looking real crazy. I don't want to look crazy, okay? The last thing I want to do right now is look crazy on television. Okay, can someone put some shit on my lips right now?
Dwayne points out, he's like, I was a little nervous to take this job, but once I kind of saw the way that Connie was talking, and then once I heard the way Tanya was talking, I realized that we were on it. It's a love story. And for a minute, you don't know if he means Connie and Tanya, because there is something between them that's like super deep too, or the monkeys. You're assuming it's the chimps. And then another thing we keep coming back
to. Can I just say, how funny is it? This, a literal clown is hired to be a fake director. And like the moment he's assigned the role of fake director, he starts talking as if he is the director. He's like, yeah.
It's straight us.
You know, the more I listen, I thought, this is a love story. I really want to capture this dynamic. Like, you're not the actual director, Dwayne. You're a clown who has a label Dr. Wasabi on your shirt.
Fake it till you make it. That's what happens. You know, you pretend you're a director long enough. Before you know it, you're like, guys, first of all, I need some more water. Second of all, or maybe it should have been first of all, can I get a better Lutz? I mean, what the fuck? So another thing we keep coming back to, it's kind of a theme of this show, is Tanya and the Botox people and wherever she's going to get her tans and her makeup and her lip injections and her, we always end up back there. And it's so funny. It's like where Tanya opens up and she can really just be Tanya, you know, because they just keep the camera on her during all of her procedures.
Yes.
And so she can't go anywhere. And she's so comfortable in front of the camera. I think she thinks that they're not going to use any of this because it's like, oh, they're just sitting with me while I'm getting my lips done. They're not going to use this, surely. Right.
But
they use all of this footage.
Yeah. She's like every single like terrible angle on her. So she's lying on this thing, on this table. She goes, you know, everybody compares me to Dolly. I don't know what, but they do. I'm like the Dolly Parton of chimps. Or I'm like the crazy monkey lady, but usually Dolly Parton of chimps.
You don't know why they compare you to Dolly, because you've given yourself boobs as big as cars and a big, gigantic wit, because you're dressing like Dolly every day. What do you think? You look like a tourist shop in Nashville. And listen, I'm all for it. I love it.
Who are the people calling her the Dolly Parton of chimps? Like, what? Like, who are the people? Like, and what is the circle that she's in where people are like, oh yeah, Connie, I mean, Tanya, Dolly Parton of chimps. Who's saying this?
I don't know, but I feel like probably everybody. I probably feel like people in the Buc-ee's are probably like, that's a Dolly Parton of chimps. I mean,
maybe it's the gay chimps. They're like, oh my God, icon. She is the Dolly Parton of us.
All the gay chimps. So she's like, yeah, you know, I owned a capuchin. Capuchin? Is that how you pronounce it?
Capuchin. I think
capuchin.
So.
Capuchin. I owned a capuchin monkey for about 20 years. I just love the capuchins, but I always wanted a chimp. You know, chimps are the big leagues. Yeah, capuchins. Capuchins are just like, oh, what? The capuchin's a chickpea. A chimp is a head of cauliflower. You know.
Yeah, a chimp. A chimp you can. Yeah, no, perfect metaphor. A chimp's.
I don't really know where that came from. Cauliflower is like the Dolly Parton vegetables.
It kind of is, actually. A chimp. You know, a chimp is way better than capuchins. Sorry, capuchins, but like, you know, just, they're just like so much better than you, because you can shape them into being you. Like, have you ever seen a chimp with a giant wig and huge lips? That was me. I did that. I shaped it right into me.
Have you seen the chimp White Lotus that came out? Well,
you ever seen a chimp fall off of a yacht? I did that.
These gay chimps, they're trying to kill me. I wrote that. I did that.
Did that.
But she's just so on. She's so on the nose with her. Like, yeah, I wanted chimps because you could shape them into being you.
This is some
creepy. Unlike your children, fucking goddamn children. Kids, God forbid, you try and teach a kid to, you know, smile with a half an orange in her mouth and make people laugh every once in a while.
I told my kid, hey, dress up like a 60-year-old woman at a boarding house in New York City and talk to a pig. And my daughter said, do it, Mom. But chimp? Chimp does it every time.
Yeah, this is also another parallel with Joe Exotic, which I thought was interesting, is just the complete narcissism that yes. goes into this, because his whole thing was Botox and bleach blonde and the glam of it all. And, you know, there was like a certain obsession with his looks and the fame of it all. And that's kind of her thing too. You know, they look at the animal, you know, they both do the platitudes of spout the platitudes of like, oh, this is for love. And there's nothing like the love between a human and an animal. But then when it comes down to it, it's really kind of about their own narcissism, you yes. know?
And they're also like probably, I'm assuming, some sort of like abandonment issues where like they never got the love or the attention or anything. So it's like, ooh, I can shape this exotic animal into like what I wanted to, because I never had any sort of like power or love like this in my life. So here I, someone who can't protest me and can't reject me.
Right, because they're in a cage. So,
kill me.
Should I say, you know what? I thought at one point I can afford one. My kids are grown. They haven't done shit for me. So, you know, who needs an inheritance when you're them? You know what I mean? So let's try to find a baby chimp. And Connie Casey was offering chimp encounters, which, again, this is something I feel like is just, you'd be jealous for this.
So I made an appointment on chimpencounters.earthlink.net, and it was the most rewarding and most experience I ever had. I put it like, okay, if having your own natural gross babies, that's probably what, number 12 or so. This is like a by far, like what's even beyond number one. This was like the chimp encounter. This just like, I didn't even need this wig after this. My hair naturally got big and curled because I was so excited.
Yeah, I was a chimp encounter. It was amazing. It changed my whole life. I mean, more than childbirth. Childbirth really only changed one thing. They didn't let me wear my eyelashes, so I looked crazy in every picture. You know, otherwise, fuck that kid. Am I all right? But yeah. God, holding that chimp, that changed everything. I wanted to go back immediately. I wanted to pay another $300. I was like, $300? Holy shit. You could have done drugs for a week.
You could have just gone to a zoo also, by the way. And so she's like, Connie lived the life that I would have loved to live, living in a giant, decrepit place in the middle of Missouri. That's what you call living. Festus.
She's my idol, and she needed help. So I just went to volunteer one day a week, and then it ended up 3 to 4 days, and it ended up 5 days, and I started putting eye drops in her milk, just waiting for her to pass. You know, it's a slow game. It's a long game. Am I speaking out loud right now? Eyelashes, am I right?
And thank God I went to Connie's 5 years ago, or I never would have known. Like, that's the only time in my life I have ever been so happy. I'm 53 years old, definitely 53, and them 5 years was the best 5 years of my life. You know, the eyebrow technician was just like, I have to hear the story every single time she comes in.
Well, we don't see the eyebrow eyelash technician for a while. Like, it takes another episode before we finally see him. And when we finally see him, he's like some hot bear guy. Like, he looks like he's an auto mechanic. He's just like, all right. I'm going to move around your filler for a little bit. All right, honey. He's
like, yeah, I'll just be here talking about chimps with one lip.
All the men kind of look the same. Like, Connie's husband, this med spa guy, and the guy who does the animal cremations. They're all, I'm like, is that the same guy? Does he just have 3 jobs?
Yeah. It all looks like my memories of the bowling alley, for sure. They're all bowling alley people. So then we cut to Tonka in a cage banging on the wall, going crazy. And Tanya's like, Tonka, you crazy little guy. Come on. He's just playing around, guys. Tonka's like, I will murder you. Like, if we knew Morse code, it would be Tonka being like, get me the fuck out of here before I murder all of you.
He doesn't have outdoor access because he's a sick chimp. He had a massive stroke last May, so he doesn't climb or anything. And, you know, that's the most active he is. And by the way, he's not a big chimp. He's just fat. He's a big, fat chimp. Tonka's like, excuse you, I'm right here. Some sensitivity, please.
Don't mind Chonka. He's just a fatty, fatty 2x4. Couldn't get his big butt through. Why is Tonka so mad? Wow, Tonka's getting even more mad. Maybe stop fat shaming Tonka. Let him live. You know? She's like, well, we've got 7 chimps, and each chimp is individualistic. Okay? Just like humans. Except for my children. They're basically little globs of mayonnaise. It could have been on any sandwich. And let me tell you, sandwich I'm not ordering. Am I right? Why can you order sandwiches but not children? How come I can get a sandwich made the way I want but not my own spawn?
Let me tell you something. Of the two things that don't talk back when you put them in a cage, a sandwich is the one that I'm going to take. Because you know what? Children, put them in cages, they're not as calm as Tonka is right now. The sandwich is kind of, what am I talking about? So Tanya's like, so, okay, let me give you a tour about our chimps that all have very basic names, except for Tonka. I don't know why Tonka's name is in the mix, but here's Connor. Connor's the Hallmark reading card chimp. Okay, he was born bred in Connie's facility, so he never really lived anywhere else. We have Tammy, Carrie, Michaela, spelled like she's on, you know, MTV Teen Mom, Mikayla, Candy, and Crystal. I'm like, what? Tammy, Carrie, Michaela, Candy, Crystal, and Connor. The most basic names.
Yeah, because it's hard to come up with. There's only one Tonka, you know what I mean? After that, you're just like, all right, we're just going to have 100 of these. We're just going to have to start naming them human names. Sorry. Can we get a John? Can we get a John or two?
It's actually funny. It's not that they're basic names, because on their own, they're perfectly fine names. It's just that somehow as a group, it's just like one of the, it's just like this very, I don't know how to describe it.
Well, it's not a family. It's not a family, right?
It just seems like a reality. It's like maybe a reality class. Show, you know?
It's maybe like a classroom, but it's not a family. Because in a family, there would be more similar names or names that kind of went together. But these are like Tammy, Michaela, Candy, Crystal. Like, what are we going for here? You know, what is this family's vibe?
It sounds like, I don't know. That sounds like people auditioning for a girl group, right? It's like, okay, Dave, yeah. Who's next? Tammy? Okay, come on in, Tammy. Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We wanna hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new dateline and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.